Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can they find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
Well, it wasn't a sweep, but the Astros did take care of business in Game 4 of the Mariners series. And then the Dodgers are coming town tomorrow. Justin Verlander hit the IL, unfortunately, but we knew this was coming. And they made a couple other roster moves today. And it's a typical elbow soreness issue going around the Astros bullpen. So, great. You can't see me, but I got two thumbs up. You can get Locked On Astros on the podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play the podcast Locked On Astros. Okay, so I guess the breaking news of today is what's going on with the Florida Marlins. This is something that actually broke like right around recording last night. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to talk about the Marlins, but this has become a big issue. This is something that baseball is going to have to deal with. I think there was like 11 people who were tested positive on the Marlins, and they played a game versus the Phillies knowing that they had people who tested positive on the team. Then they had the Phillies had to cancel a series versus the Yankees, or not cancel, but postpone. This is a mess, and this is something that we have to deal with in the COVID-19 crisis. So any thoughts on this whole debacle?
Well, at first, I think that once again, we assume the sky was falling. And I know you jokingly tweeted, what was your favorite moment of 2020 baseball season? But I think some people were legitimately going, it's over, it's done, cancel the season. And of course, the Sean Doolittle quotes came out of nowhere. And like, oh, Sean Doolittle's already talked about this and warned us about this. And now he's, I guess, the sage of COVID baseball. But the bottom line is this. This is a reality. And I'll say it again, and I'm not saying this because I'm insensitive or I don't think that we should be unsafe. But as the tests go up, deaths are going down. This is not as deadly with these athletes as some may seem. The problem is the spreading. The problem is not saying, hey, we got some positive guys over here. The problem is who gets it? Who are you connected with that the reverberations of that? So while I'm not initially scared of diagnosis or the positive test of COVID-19, I am nervous about how many people that affects. And so with that being unknown, Major League Baseball had an emergency meeting today. Wasn't there myself personally, but apparently they said, oh, let's keep playing ball. But I think a lot of people thought what you and I were thinking, maybe Justin Verlander's out 2 weeks. Maybe we don't have a season in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I know David Price came out today and he said, well, we'll see what MLB thinks of the players by their actions. And I think a lot of players are feeling like the owners are making them play. We saw another guy, Tim Collins of the Rockies, opt out today. He didn't make the roster, but so he opted out. There's a lot of players that have opted out. But I guess we can only complain about things as it goes. But we got to focus on the season and just focus on the Astros winning, which they did versus the Mariners. I know Sunday was terrible. I joked on Twitter that if the Astros go 59-1, we'll all remember that one Sunday where we're all depressed and thinking that Justin Verlander is out the whole season and all that. But I know the Astros are going to lose a game here or there. But Justin Verlander was placed on the 10-day IL with right forearm strain. That was retroactive to July 29th. The club also optioned Taylor Jones. And I've been kind of saying this without saying it directly. He was not really needed on this roster. I mean, you have so many hitters. You need the pitching. And I was surprised that they didn't go with 16 pitchers at first. But there's a reason why. We'll talk about that in a second. And also, they've called up Nivaldo Rodriguez and Brandon Bielak. And Bielak came in and saved a day today because Josh James was not really that great today. He walked five batters and had five strikeouts. He only lasted three innings. So this was back-to-back days that you had pitchers not being able to get out of the fourth inning.
Yeah, and one of those guys being Zach Greinke. So and apparently he's not going to be good for three starts. So with that being said,
I thought you Josh said two. James...
Oh, well, I mean, three starts, right? So not until the third start after this.
Oh, okay,
so,
I get what
you're saying. So Josh James, after the game, was being interviewed in the locker room via the Zoom thing. And this is basically what he said. He acknowledged that he did a pretty good job, he felt, of moving the ball in and out, inside, outside. He felt like he got off to a good start. And he said in the third inning, the game sped up on him. And he said it was his first start since 2018. And I think he just felt like he couldn't catch up. So he was asked with the follow-up question, what do you think about Brandon Bielak coming in and getting his first win? He said, well, Brandon Bielak came in. He did a great job, took care of business. And he said, I'm really happy for him that he did that, and you want your guys to come in after you and pick you up. So that is an ultimate team player mentality. Josh James, when he is on, the dude is, he throws fireballs, but the problem is his control. The problem is where that ball lands on the plate. I remember, Eric, my son and I were at his major league debut, and I believe his second or third pitch was 103 or 104 miles an hour. He was throwing absolute gas, so he can do that. But today, he clearly admitted his nerves got the best of him. And so I think Brandon Bielak is going to be a great addition. He seems to be really mature. Got to talk to him when he was at Round Rock, did an interview with him, my son and I. That was a phenomenal. I got to get a little inside of him. Talked about Craig Biggio being an influence on him because he played with Cavan over at Notre Dame. And so I thought that was neat to see that and to get to see him have his major league debut and be very successful and not just first win as well.
Yeah, he's the 12th ranked Astros prospect by MLB Pipeline. Nevado Rodriguez is number 29. I believe that Rodriguez advanced as high as Class A last year, so he hasn't really pitched any upper levels yet. But there's a reason why the Astros need another pitcher, but we'll talk about that in a second. I know I keep on teasing it, but I want to talk a little bit more about Bielak. In 3.1 innings pitch, he had four hits. He allowed four hits, two earned runs, four strikeouts, 53 pitches, 37 strikes. That's pretty good considering what Josh James did. He had 75 pitches, only 39 strikes. That's about 52% strikes. He had one wild pitch, one hit by pitch. He allowed one homer. So it just wasn't, the guy was nails in his exhibition game. Yeah, he pitched against the Royals, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so I don't know what the difference was between the Royals and the Mariners, but that third inning just got to him. But now we get Framer Valdez tomorrow. I'm so excited.
Yay!
Another three inning start. Yes.
Well, hey, here's the deal. I just want to correct the record. I said Cavan Biggio. He actually played at Notre Dame with Connor Biggio. There's a difference between the two, so I digress. But anyways, yeah, like how exciting. The Dodgers come to town and they get Framber Valdez. But hey, Mike Trout said Framber Valdez has some nasty stuff. So, and if you were paying attention to the broadcast the other day, whenever Garrett Stubbs was on second base, it basically, instead of Garrett Stubbs' name, it said pinch runner Mike Trout. And I thought, wait, we traded Garrett Stubbs for Mike Trout? I was excited.
Yeah, maybe he just, the person that was operating that graphic just didn't have good focus that day and just couldn't really focus on Mike Trout versus Garrett Stubbs. I mean, they
really,
whatever.
Because every time I see Garrett Stubbs, I think, God, he looks a lot like Mike Trout.
Yeah, so what could this person do to kind of help out with his focus?
Well, let me tell you what he could do. If he's having a struggle with the right graphics, he doesn't have to be a professional athlete or a stay-at-home parent. He could spend 8 hours in an uncomfortable chair putting Mike Trout over Garrett Stubbs' name. But we know that everyone needs support to make it through the day. So luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you and this guy relax, regroup, and recharge when things get chaotic. CBD Freeze and Menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering all our listeners 25% off your next order. when you use the promo code LOCKEDONMLB at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code LOCKEDONMLB for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD.
All right, so let's take a look at the, anything else you want to say about the Mariners series? I know that the Astros won 3 of 4. They scored 29 runs, which is a lot during that series. Even in the loss, they scored a lot of runs. So the offense looks good. Starting pitching is kind of questionable, and the young relievers look good, but the older relievers, we'll have to talk about that in a second, but any final thoughts?
Yes, final thoughts. I was worried if we would have split the Mariners. That would have really bothered me. You don't want to split with the Mariners. You give them a win, that's fine. They earned that win. One of the things that really bothers me right now is George Springer. He just does not look comfortable at the plate. You know, Correa was only 1 for 3 today, but he hit his outs were like really long, hard outs. They were, he hit the ball hard. Springer is just like the last pitch that he got out on, that he grounded out on, was a terrible pitch to swing at. He's batting 063 right now. And clearly something's going on in his head. I don't know if this contract stuff is playing on his mind. I don't know what's going on. So that's really the only thing that concerns me. I just want to stay. Keep putting up crooked numbers, and let's go beat the Dodgers.
And actually, they talked about that during before the game. He said that he's not focused on the future right now. He's focused on the present. And he said, it's a time where I'm not really focused on the future. I'm trying to stay in the present. I'm trying to stay safe and make sure I do all the right things. And at a later date, I'll figure that out. So he was compared to Mookie Betts, and he said, I haven't thought about it. I'm happy for him. He's a tremendous player. He earned it, but that's him. It doesn't concern me. So I think that I know we talked that Betts is a little bit younger. He's had a little bit more success than Springer has. But at the same time, I'm getting more and more worried that we won't see him play in front of fans at Minute Maid Park again. So it's something that I'm kind of worried about. But at the same time, we will be getting Todd Callis back tomorrow. So that's a good thing. Nothing against Eschenfelder.
No, Eschenfelder actually filled in very, very well. I actually thought he did a great job. And I actually thought, what's his name that helped in for Kevin? Bitch Elsinore actually did a really good job. And so this whole broadcast team as a whole is phenomenal. They're not hokey or corny. I mean, they do just enough sometimes. Some of the guys that aren't like the Blummers and the Todd Callis. But yeah, Todd Callis coming back. Dude, that's going to be phenomenal. Him and Blummer are going to hit their stride quick.
I know that the catchers have been looking really great so far for the Astros this year. In 4 games, they're crushing it. But Dustin Grinneau actually had his first triple of his career. And it was a one-headed swing from what I remember. It got away from the outfielder. But still, it was good. It kind of, I think it put the Astros up 5-3 at the time. And his sons were all there. Well, all the cutout sons were there. So that was good to see. But I like this offense. I think the offense is going to be great. I'm kind of worried about the pitching. I know I keep on pushing that back, but before we do that, let's talk a little about the Dodger series. The Dodger series was going to be built up to be this dramatic rematch of the World Series Game 1 versus Justin Verlander and Clayton Kershaw. Kershaw misses opening day. Like, he scratched like literally right before opening day. Dustin May had to start, and then we know what happened to Justin Verlander. We don't know how long Verlander's going to be out, but for these 2 games versus the Dodgers in July, I guess it's still July. It's not going to be the same, but we will be facing, what's his face? Walker Buehler.
Yes, we'll be facing Walker Buehler. And, you know, one of the things I want to say about Buehler is he's actually been behind schedule a little bit in summer camp. Apparently, Buehler insists that he's healthy, and we know he can dominate. He is one of the bright young pitchers in the game. And so he's going to get the ball, and I guess we'll see which Walker Buehler shows up. The guy that hasn't started very well, or Walker Buehler that can be an absolute stud on the mound. I hope it's the one that I previously mentioned, because that would be good for our hitters. Let's get George Springer a leadoff home run against Walker Buehler.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I think there would be that playoff type atmosphere. I know there's not going to be any fans there, but You know that both teams have been looking forward to this, and so we'll have to see what happens. But in game two, it's going to be opening day starter Dustin May for the Dodgers, and he pitched at the last minute. I think he was even on the roster. Then they said, oh, wait, Clayton Kershaw can't pitch. Let's get Dustin May up. He was able to come up and pitch, and we don't know who's going to be the starter for the Astros. It could be a bullpen game. It could be one of those starter games type things, but you would say Bielak could get start, but he pitched three and one-thirds innings tonight. Who else could he do? Cy Snead pitch tonight. So my guess is it's probably going to be Christian Javier, who's going to get at least the bulk of the game. They may open with somebody. I don't know who, but and then have Javier come in. I'm not really sure what, and Dusty's not really sure. Dusty said, well, it depends on who we use today and tomorrow, and then whoever's left we'll use on Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly. I believe you could go Christian Javier to start. You could, hopefully he will get you some decent innings. I mean, even if you get four innings out of Christian Javier, that would actually be, that wouldn't be a bad person to go with. Now, Paredes only pitched two-thirds of an inning today, so you could easily throw him.
Yeah,
I mean,
but Javier is stretched out. I mean, I know he pitched, I think he pitched two innings opening day, or he pitched, I thought he pitched two innings, but remember in that one game, he pitched five innings, 77 pitches. So he is pretty much stretched out. So he could give you a good four innings. That's more than the last two starters have given you. And knock on wood, hopefully Framber Valdez can do something tomorrow, because we can't have enough back-to-back-to-back three innings pitched or so.
Dude, I'm calling Framber Valdez is going to go six strong innings.
He's going to shut up all the haters.
Mookie Betts is 0-for-1 against him. I think he's going to strike out Mookie Betts, both at bats he faces him. I think they let Valdez go through the lineup twice. I think he's going to last six innings. He's going to have five strikeouts. He's only going to give up two runs and one walk.
Yeah, so a lot of people have been wondering, where is Ryan Pressly? He looks so good in that exhibition game. I think he got the start and over Josh James in that one game. And oh yeah, that's right, Josh James missed that game, so we saw him pitch a different game anyway. But Dusty Baker after a game said that Ryan Pressly has a sore elbow. That does not mean ailment or what's the word, discomfort. That just means a sore elbow. He described him as day-to-day, but we have some other issues. Chris Devinsky is battling soreness. Yeah, you can't see my air quotes, but that was the you're not very good right now soreness. And Austin Pruitt, this is a big deal. Austin Pruitt has been shut down from throwing. He had a setback, and that's not good. This is a guy that we need to be that bulk guy, somebody to kind of eat up the innings to bridge to the back end of the bullpen. Until Jose Urquidy's ready, we need somebody to step up. If that's Christian Javier, that's fine. There's just so... Yes, I know the rookies have done great, and Bielak is actually the first rookie to allow a run this year. But that's not going to last forever. These are rookies. These are young guys. Yes, they're doing good now, but once the league gets a book on them, that's when they're going to start struggling a little bit, and it's how they make adjustments from there.
Let's bring back Tyler White, baby. Come on. Oh. Tyler White, let's bring him in as a relief pitcher. Let's do it. It's 2020. What the hell? Who cares? Let's bring in Tyler White, and then after Tyler White, we can, let Dustin Garneau pitch. I mean, you know, we got to get creative here. But yeah, the whole pitching situation is a little insane. Another thing that's insane, what is up with Osuna's hair? Can we like send a memo to say, please cut or groom hair before pitching? It looked terrible. It looked like a trucker hat with a fake.
That's his quarantine hair. That's his quarantine hair. Okay. Dude, he has not had time to go to barber. He had trouble getting here. Remember he was held back in Mexico, and he has not had time to go to Fantastic Sam's or Supercuts or Sports Cut. Leave him alone.
Okay. No, here's the problem. It looked like a cross between a trucker mullet and a Jack Sparrow pirate cap with fake dreads. I mean, I looked at it like a couple times. I was like, is that a weave? Like, are those extensions? And I'm like, I can't have my clothes throwing the ball with extensions. But you know what? He pitched a hell of an inning. He did a great job.
He looked good. He didn't look like somebody who's rusty.
Yeah, exactly. He looked like a guy named Rusty from the Trailer Park, but he didn't look rusty. So, yeah, dude, this year is just, I mean, dude, like.
Did you hear what happened to Faulty?
Say again?
Did you hear what happened to Faulty?
Yeah, he got a, what do they call it, DFA'd?
Yes.
He got the old Tyler White treatment.
Yeah. So I guess we won the Evan Gattis trade. I mean, for years we thought we lost it because not necessarily Evan Gattis, but Fulton Evans went to the Braves and became basically their ace. And apparently they said he hasn't really been here this year. He hasn't really been hit himself. His velocity's down. So they just said, you know what? You're not going to take this seriously. Peace.
Yeah, man, 28 years old. They said, you know, he used to touch 95, but he is barely, he's struggling to get to 90 miles an hour. And they just, I mean, their coach literally said he hasn't been himself. He hasn't looked himself and his stuff just isn't there. And so, I mean, Snitker told David O'Brien of The Athletic that very thing. And so since he has debuted with the Astros in 2014, where he had that 95 plus mile an hour fastball, he doesn't have that anymore. So unfortunately, you know, he's fallen on hard times. Now I got a question. A guy like this, okay, he's quote unquote lost it. Is this someone that you look to be able to get on the cheap if he's out there, if he gets DFA'd? I don't know, Eric. Is he someone that the Astros would look at if they continue to have pitchers with soreness and stuff? Or is he kind of too, like, or is he soured grapes?
I think that he goes through waivers first, if that's what I remember correctly. It's been a long offseason. But if nobody claims them, then he could be traded or optioned down to AAA or the practice squad. But I don't know. The Braves are a pretty good team, and they know how to handle the young pitching. If they can't really work with him, I don't know if a team like the Astros should go out and try to bring him back in. But who knows? Maybe working with Brent Strom will just kind of revive his career. But same time, I don't know if I want to be taking that risk right now. And especially with the whole COVID-19 crisis, I don't see a lot of trades. Because you're just taking people from one locker room to a different locker room, and that's going to mess up with things or people signing. But I don't know. I just know that it was good to see Alex Bregman get his swag on after hitting that blast. And then also Jose Altuve hit a Crawford box homer, granted, but still, it was a homer. So the offense came alive for, what, 8 runs today on how many hits? Was it 8 hits?
They had 8 hits, 8 runs. They had 2 home runs. And hey, get this. I saw this. Mike Acosta posted this on Twitter. The ball that Bregman hit was his 100th home run, and the ball hit the cardboard cutout of a young fan. A girl looked like she was maybe 9 or 10 years old, and he said her name. She will be getting basically that baseball. They're going to send her that baseball because it hit her cutout. They were like, she caught Bregman's 100th home run. So they're going to send that to her. I thought that was really cool.
That was pretty cool. So I know that our friend Michael has been doing some investigating. You want to go ahead and tell him a little bit about what he's found before we end the broadcast?
Yeah, Michael Schwab, who we had on earlier, he used to write for Politico and USA Today. He's been doing a lot of digging into sign stealing, studying it as a whole. And he came across some footage that was sent to him, some cell phone footage of a camera that is trained on a catcher, and it has been traced back, and it seems to be pretty concrete that it's at Yankee Stadium, A, that B, the batter that is in the box is an Oakland A. It is the wild card game in 2018. And so, of course, Yankees fans are automatically refuting it, but he basically said on Twitter that he has confirmed this with a phone call from a current major leaguer and someone inside the Yankees organization. He's digging. He is
Aaron
becoming.
Judge.
Yeah, he is becoming. Well, dude, if you just look at Judge's home and road splits, I mean, it is ridiculous how big of a drop off there is. I mean, it is massive. So I don't know. I don't know if it helped him that much. We like to say in Houston, the cheating didn't really help us that much, but who knows? Here's the bottom line. He's digging. People don't like it because, oh my God, the shoe's on the other foot possibly. So here's my question to you, Eric, on this topic. Do you think something like this, if it gets enough legs, do you think it forces the league or the Athletic or someone to dig and do an interview and try to get some inside info?
No, It's going to take a player, that player coming out and reporting to Ken Rosenthal and Evan Drellick of The Athletic to have anything happen. This is, I mean, I just don't think it's going to do too much. Maybe if somebody starts investigating it a little bit further, we'll see. But props to him for doing this. And I know it takes a lot to put yourself out there, because for every tweet you put out there, especially something as critical to the New York Yankees, you have to expect that you're going to get a lot of crap for it. So props to him for doing that. And hopefully they can prove something, but it's not going to condemn the Yankees. I don't think anything outside of Aaron Judge or somebody coming up and saying, I did it, not anything's going to happen.
No, yeah, that makes perfect sense. And the bottom line is this. The Houston Astros won the 2017 World Series championship. We're still world champions, period, end of story. We're going to go on to the 2020 World Series, and I recant my last statement, and I reject my original statement that I didn't want to win it. I want to win it. I want to win it all. I want to win it big, and I want it to be our second title, and I want people to tell us there's an asterisk by it, and I want to love that and freaking own it, period.
Well, if the Astros do lose, if the season is over after tonight, let's say that season gets canceled, we'll have the record high winning percentage. So that's something to look forward to. But at the same time, I'm glad that baseball's back, and I hope that they're able to just kind of push those type things to the side. But if this happens to more and more teams, I don't know if you can just push it to the side. So that's all we got for tonight's Locked On Astros podcast. Make sure you check out Sully and all the other guys. If you want to go listen to Locked On Yankees, Stacy does a great job over there. And one day we'll get her on the podcast when she's probably not going to yell at us the whole times and more. So you've been listening to Locked On Astros podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow.